Shavuot Tov, everybody. This thing is working? Yes, it's working. We have a new recording device. We thank the dedicator and the sponsor, whoever he or she may be. We need sponsors for our tapes. Our producer tells us we've been putting out wintertime, we have extra tapes because we have Motzei Shabbat, we have midweek classes. And all the people making tapes are making more tapes than usual, which spreads the sponsors very thin. So anybody interested in dedicating a tape? 718-375-1023 in Brooklyn. 718-375-1023. Ask for Rico. Okay, that's the blurb. Abraham only the Yitzchak. And these are the offspring of Yitzchak, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat, I like that word, very biblical, begat Yitzchak. Yitzchak was 40 years old, he took Rivka for a wife, and she couldn't have children. So they prayed for 20 years before she became pregnant. And then she becomes pregnant. Beautiful. They start wrestling or running. One of the mafash says, Milashon Ritza. From running around. They're running around in her belly. If this is the truth, this is why it happened, what was I praying for all this time? Who wants to be a Hibble if it's painful like this? If this is what I have to go through, who wants it? Batelech lidoshet Hashem, she goes to find Hashem. She checks the yeshiva of Shem Va'eber. And over there she asks, what's going on here? What was her concern? Her concern is, maybe I have here a child that's a little wacky. What do I mean by wacky? He's schizo. Why? Midrash tells us. She went by the Abu Dazara. Esav mefarkes latzet. Esav's kicking her belly. He wants to come out. She goes by the Yeshiva Pithe Bet Midrash Hashem Va'eve to learn Torah. Yaakov kicks, he wants to come out. So she doesn't know. This child, bad child, I'll deal with it. Good child, I'll deal with it. This child, I don't know what to do. How am I going to handle a child that's schizophrenic? Okay. She goes to Shem Ba'eber, and they tell her the good news. You don't have a nutty child inside. You have two children. One is big, one is small. One will be the older, one will be the younger. The Rab Ya'avod Zair. This is the two types of people on earth, the Yehudi and the Goyim. There's two types of people inside. And in the end, Rab, the one that's many or older, Ya'avod Sa'ir, the one that's younger, Baruch Hashem, don't worry. So she's happy, she goes back, she has the child, and Vayigdilu ha-ne'arim, and the children grow up. Vayigdilu ha-ne'arim, Vahi Esav ish yodeh asayid ish sadeh. Esav is an ish yodeh asayid. He's a man of the sadeh. The Yaakov is ish tam, a more simple man. Yoshev o'alim. And he sits in the tents of Torah. So you have an ish sayid, you have a hunter. You have an outdoors type, wearing his vest. He has his rifle, his bow, his arrow. He goes out hunting with his boots. Just like the kids bring home the picture Friday night. You have that wild-looking man with the hair, red, hairy. And you have a Kollel guy sitting there, skinny, white skin, is weak. He's learning. That's the way it looks to people. The question is, the real question is, on the Pasuk, the question is asked, Vayigdelu ha-ne'arim, Vahi Esav ish yodeh asayid ish sadeh, V'Yaakov ish tam. I just said the word ish three times. Why is the word ish three times? Ish yodeh asayid, ish sadeh,
Ish tam.
Ish means man. You don't have to repeat it over and over. You really don't have to say it at all, practically. So the question is why. Second question. Vayehav Yitzhak et Esav kisayed b'fiv. Come on. We don't know what Yitzhak Avinu alav hashalom is. This is Pahad Yitzhak. This is the man of Givurah. You know, his father Abraham was big on the Kiruv. He was an outreach professional. He went out. He was mikarev people. Yitzhak Avinu also was helping people, but in his own way, he was an inside person. He worked on the avodah, the perfection of himself. He was afraid of making a head. Pahad Yitzhak, we call it. Different type. How's he like Esav? Maybe I say, how can he like Esav? And then the Targum, which we have here, in this abbreviated Chumash, the Targum says, Kisayid Bifiv, because he has, let me see what the English translation says, I like to know that. Because, for the game was in his mouth, meaning he cooked for him. And the Targum says, Kisayid Bifiv, it says, because he gave him food, same explanation. It says, Mitzideh hava achil, because he used to eat his venison. He used to trap deer for him, wild animals, and feed him. So he liked him. Excuse me, this is Yitzhak Avinu Hashem. He wasn't interested in a meal. And he was a multi-billionaire. He was the most successful person of his time. We read the pasuk about Me'ash Sharim where they got their name. Whatever he touched turned to gold and more and more and more and more. He was better than the Nasdaq 3 years ago. He was just going up and up and up and up. All the time. So if he wants a little venison, let him make a call and get it delivered. He has to like Esau because he brings him a little food. And even if it was shohad, you bribe me, you bring me food, so it doesn't work. So let's take a little trip. I take a little trip through some ideas that we have in halacha, in shas, and maybe we'll understand why it says ish, 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 and why Yitzhak liked Esav, and what's going on here. Harambam. Maimonides says in Hilchot Teshuvah that there's two ways to serve Hashem. There's two different ways to serve Hashem. One way to serve Hashem is called Kobesh, conqueror. That person is able to want something, to be in the vicinity of that something, and to fight off the urge. That person's a gibor. He could be secluded with a woman. He could be alone out of town with his taref to eat. He could be in a situation where his biggest ta'ava is overcoming him. And he could beat it. He's a kovesh. He's a gibor chaya. There's another type of person called Sadiq. The Sadiq knows his limits. And he avoids tests. I don't want, leave me alone, I ain't gone. If I see it, I gotta have it. I'm not strong enough. So he avoids anything that's a problem. If he thinks going to this place is going to be a test, he don't go to the place. If he thinks doing this activity is going to lead him down the path to bed, he don't do the activity. He don't, leave me alone. I'm not interested. That's the second way. So one way is to go up against the challenge and beat it. And the other is to avoid it at all costs. Ezu mehem adif, which is better? Machloket. Difference of opinion. We open up a very nice page of Gemara. This page you could always enjoy. There's a couple of good stories on it. Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin. If you go to Masechet Avodah Daf Yud Zayin and you open up the Gemara, you see a story there about two rabbis, two great rabbis, Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Yonatan. Hochim baderech. They're walking together down the road. And they get to a crossroads. Fork in the road, they call it. You can go to the right, you can go to the left. So they have signs on the road. One sign says, Bet Avodah Zarah. If you go this way, you're going to pass by the house of idol worshippers. The other one says, even more fun, Bet Zonot, the red light district, the house of ladies. Which one should we take? We got to get to the other side. So one says to the other, you know, the Sanhedrin, the high Jewish court, pulled the shtick, and they really overcame the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, and they put it in a bottle. We'll go that way, it's safe, because the temptation, just like us today, we don't have a big desire for Avodah Zarah. We have trouble with food, we have trouble with women, we have trouble with a lot of things. Business, being honest, we don't have trouble with Avodah Zarah, we leave Avodah Zarah, come on, it's the last thing. You don't see many people running after Avodah Zarah. Because the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah was conquered by the Sanhedrin, the high Jewish court, and they killed it. So let's play safe, he tells them. The other one says, why? It's better to go this way. He says, but there's Zonot over there. There's women of the night. You know what they dress like and how they treat, they tempt you. He says, that's it. If we go there and we overcome, we'll get big reward. If you go the other way, what are you going to gain? You'll get to where you're going, but without a test, no pain, no gain. That was the machloket. I'm going to tell you which way they went. But we see that this is really easy understood if we think of two officers in an army. And they have a battle against an enemy. And one officer has a plan. The best way to beat this enemy is to set up defense systems. I'm going to build a wall around the city. I'm going to put a couple of battalions outside the wall. I'm going to put Shomrim on top of the wall. We're going to lock the wall. And if he comes, he may be strong, but at least I'm safe inside. The other guy says, no, no, no. It's much better. Now, this is the new George Bush approach. We want preemptive strike. Why sit back and wait for them to attack you? Let's go in. We'll go like spies. We'll go in submarines. We'll go tricky ways inside. And we'll destroy their weapons of mass destruction before they can use them. Which guy is taking a bigger risk? The second guy. The second guy wants to go in and fight and be on enemy territory. It's much more dangerous. So if we want to weigh which general is a bigger gibor, you say the second one. Because if he's willing to take the risk, he must be. I can give you an example from business. In business, again, in the days of the NASDAQ, there were a lot of people walking around telling, what are you doing? I'm a venture capitalist. Issue of venture capital. I look for deals. I invest with people. He said, yeah, you do that? Yeah, I got internet companies. I got this kind of company. I got a guy came up with a new invention. I got a guy writing a book. I got all kinds of crazy things. I got investments all over the place. He says, what if it, does it work? Well, some deals come through, most of them fail. So how could he do it? Because he has his regular capital, he has what he's living on, he has something saved for any day, and he has extra, and with the extra, he's trying to go to the next level. So if you see a man trying risky businesses, and he's smart, it's only because he's Ashir Atzum. You look at him and say, he's God, because the poor guy, a guy comes and I have an internet company, I want you, man, what are you talking about? I can't pay my bills on Thursday. Thursday is the 10th, I can't pay the mortgage. You want me to invest? What if it loses? If it loses, I'll be out in the street. They'll take my house away. So who's the gibor? The one who takes the bigger risk. So you're going to think now that I'm suggesting that everybody try the way of brave, outside, fighting on their territory. But we have one problem. We have an example in our Tanakh of someone who took that approach. David HaMelech Alav HaShalom was like Yosef HaSadiq Alav HaShalom, the closest thing in a human being to what's called Abot, the Merkava, the people on earth who reach a certain level that nobody else reached in relationship to Hashem. So David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, he tells Hashem, how come Avraham's Av, Yitzchak is Av, Yaakov Avinu, why not David Avinu?
So Hashem tells him, I tested them and they passed. I didn't test you. So he tells Hashem, Bechaneni Hashem v'naseni. Hashem, test me and elevate me through the test. Give me a trial. Hashem says, I'm not going to give you a trial. I'm going to tell you what it's going to be in the area. It's going to be a matter of arayot. It's going to be a matter of immorality. That's going to be your test. Of course, David HaMelech on his own, we can't say he sinned. The Gemara on Shabbat tells us, Kol HaMer, David Chata, Ena Ela To'eh, only making a mistake. But on the simple level, we see that the Yetzer HaRa came, he revealed Batsheva in the bathtub on the roof to him. His Yetzer HaRa worked on the Ta'ava, and forgetting the legalities, was she divorced, not divorced, did he send the husband to the law, whatever the explanations are, he did have the woman. He says later in Tehillim, Samoti Balya Aborpi, I feel regret that I opened my big mouth. I never should have asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to test me. Because in Sadiq Baal Sheh Asher Tov Lo Yehata. There's nobody that doesn't make a sin. If you're out there, you're going to make sins. Chacham Yehuda Sadka, Zecher Sadiq Levracha, he writes in his book, you have the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, En Sadiq Ba'aretz, Asher Yaseh Tatov, hey, out. The Lo Yehata. There's no righteous person on earth who does good and doesn't sin. So he asks, all you have to say is, there's no righteous person on earth who doesn't sin. What's Asher Ya'aseh Tov? Why do you insert that phrase that does good and doesn't sin? And the answer is very interesting. He says, you know, there is Sadiq Ba'aretz Asher Lo Yehata. There is a Sadiq Ba'aretz who could not sin. But he can't be one who's Ya'aseh Tov. If a man is in the yeshiva all day, he goes to yeshiva, he comes home, he doesn't watch TV, he doesn't read magazines, he doesn't go out to the city, he doesn't go on July to 34th Street, he doesn't see people, he's inside, Ohala Shel Torah, Kol Hayom V'Chol HaLaila. Yesh Sadiq Ba'aretz, maybe Lo Yecheta. If he's lucky, Lo Yecheta. But if a person is Ya'aseh Tov, to do good, you have to go see people, you have to go meet people, you have to go in touch with them. You have to go out. So he says, "In Sadiq Ba'aretz, Asher Yaseh Atob, who wants to be involved with society, below Yehita. Why don't you take the step outside the Bet Midrash? Now you're in trouble." So David HaMelech also proves, "Naseni Hashem, no, Bechaneni Hashem v'Naseni, you're going to lose." So this seems to be the intention of Yitzhak. He felt Esav was greater than Yaakov. Why? Because Esav sayed b'fiv. He used to trick him with questions. He used to ask him questions of hasidut. Not the law, not the halacha. Do I have to make netilat yadayim if I dip something? Do I have to do this? If I eat a kazayit, I have to say, he didn't ask regular laws. He didn't ask, is this borer? He asked hasidut. He said, do you have to take ma'aser from salt? As if he wants to give it, and salt is not a produce that needs ma'aser. Basically, he was like a pig. You know, there's four animals on the whole planet. This is one of the proofs that they use that the Torah is true. Moshe Rabbeinu was not a zoologist. He wasn't a biologist. And he wasn't a world traveler. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, and I never went to Eretz. He went to Midian and Mitzrayim. And Kush, they say, as there was a period of time he was there. But he really didn't travel the whole world, and yet in the Torah, he makes a statement. If an animal has two signs, if it chews its cud, which is part of the digestive system of eating, spitting up again, and eating it again, and it has split hoofs, that's behemah tehorah, it's a kosher animal, and with the proper slaughtering and treatment, it can be eaten. If it doesn't have those signs, it's not a kosher animal, it's tameh, and even if you slaughter it the proper way, and you salt and do everything you're supposed to, you can't eat it. And then he makes an amazing statement. But there's four kind of animals in this universe that have only one sign. Only four. That's a pretty strong statement. Because with all the science today, and all the zoologists, and all the expeditions, nobody found the fifth one yet. In fact, there was a man, a kofir, or anti-religious person, who paid for an expedition to try and find one. And they sent people into the depths of Africa to try and find one animal that has a split hoof and doesn't chew its cud, or the opposite, has flat hoofs and chews its cud. Four are named in the Torah. Three, the camel, the anevet, names of four, two kinds of rabbit-type animals and the camel. They chew their cud, but they have a solid hoof. There's no split in the middle of the hoof. The hazir, the pig, has a split hoof, but doesn't chew its cud. When the pig runs, next time you watch your little cartoons, he runs 2 feet in front, 2 feet in front. He doesn't run alternating feet like we run. He leaps with 2 feet in front. You know what he's saying? Look at me, I'm kosher. Look at me, I'm kosher. He's putting his hoofs in front of you to say, look at me, I'm kosher. That's the hazir. He didn't know that Esav was like the hazir. In fact, Edom is considered the galut of the hazir, Esav. Yitzchak thought, he is a man, he's Isader, Isayid. He goes out into the fields because he's a gibor. He goes up against the test every day, but look, when he comes home at night, questions of hasidut. What a good boy. He goes back and he comes back pure. He doesn't know what he's doing when he's there. So he liked him. Vayehav, why? Sayyid Befiv. Who could be that strong? Not like Yaakov. Yaakov's Ishtam Yoshev O'Halim. He's not being tested. He can't handle the Yetzara. So now look at the Pasuk. Vayhi Esav. Esav was, add some words, Be'ene Yitzchak, in the eyes of Yitzchak, Ish Yodeh Sayyid. He was a person who knew how to trap Yetzara. He's not afraid of him. He was in this madrega, this high level, where he can challenge him and beat him. And therefore, he was Ish Sadeh. He went out, that's the second Ish, he went out in the day, in order to go challenge him and beat him. Aval, however, Yaakov, who didn't reach this madrega of bravery and strength, Ishtam. And because he's Ishtam, and afraid of the Yetzara, he's Yoshev O'Halim. That's why it says in the Gemara, if you meet up with this Naval Hazeh, the Yetzara, Moshcheho Le'il Beit HaMidrash. That was Yaakov Avinu. So that's the answer to our questions. But it looks like, really looks like, that we have a situation where Yitzhak was fooled. And the truth is, you can review the question, how is it that he was able to fool him? It says, Sayyid Befiv, Rashi says, Latsud Ramot Avi Befiv. And he was asking him these questions, and his father thought he's like a Hasid. Listen, most fathers know their children. This one heke, this one that way, this one this way. And if he didn't recognize, and he didn't know on his own, doesn't he have Rivka living in the house? Isn't his wife telling him every day, my poor son Yaakov, what are you treating this other guy nice? Don't you know what he does all day? I heard he went to a bar. I heard he went with his G. I heard he went with a Goya. I heard he does drugs. I heard, yeah, she's telling him every day. I don't know, punish. You know better than me. I don't know. I don't use that word. Okay? So it seems like it's possible to say that Yitzchak did know. And how can I give you some proof to the fact that he knew? Well, first of all, he says, when Yaakov comes back quickly with the food to get the beracha, he says, Hikra Hashem Elokecha Lefanai. Your God, Baruch Hashem, He helped me trap very quickly today. And it says, at that point, he figured this must be Yaakov. Right? And he says, when he heard the name, he said, Gishana Elai Bamushecha Beni. Come close, I want to feel you. Why? If he thought Esav is such a Sadiq, and he said, Hashem, help me today, why is he all of a sudden suspicious? Must be he knows Esav is not a good guy. And the fact that he used these words, I have to be suspicious. So that's the first proof that he knew Esav was not so perfect. Not only that, when he said, Baruch Hashem, I was lucky today, Hashem helped me, immediately he says, Hakol Kol. Yaakov, the good one, talks like that. Not Yadayim Yedei Esav, not Esav. And that's why he was confused. It's out of character. So it seems like, if this is Esav, I got a problem. It don't sound like Esav. He's not acting like Esav. Because Esav is bad, and Yaakov is good. So in that scene of the Berachot, we see, you can safely say, Yitzhak had some idea that Esav was not so perfect. And, another proof, when he gave the beracha, V'yiten lecha Elokim, is that the beracha? That is a beracha. You know what that beracha is? That's a beracha of Gashmiut. Look at it. V'yiten lecha Elokim, let's just see here. V'yiten lecha Elokim, mital ha-shamayim, mishmanei ha-aret, v'rov dagam v'tirosh. And may God give you of the dew of the heavens, fatness of the earth, abundant grain and wine. So far, it's all cash. Right? It's all netty. He didn't give him anything that's spiritual. People will serve you. Regimes will prostrate themselves to you. You'll be a lord to your kinsmen. Your mother's sons will bow down to you. Cursed be they who curse you, and blessed are those who bless you. Finished. Any talk of Eretz Israel? Any talk of Torah, Mitzvot? Look what he tells Yaakov Avinu Alav HaShalom when Yaakov is leaving to go get married. So Yitzhak, Vayikra Yitzhak Yaakov Vayibarech Oto. And he tells him, Lo Tikach Esham Okan, don't take a wife from the Canaanite women. Kum Lech Paden Aram, go to my family, your mother's family. And then he gives him a beracha. Ve'el Shaddai Yibarech Otecha V'yafecha V'yadbecha V'yitek Alamim. Right? He tells them, that's what's going to be. And may the Almighty bless you, make you fruitful, make you numerous. And may you be a congregation of people. May He grant you the blessing of Abraham to you and to yours, so that you may possess Haaretz. You get the land of Israel, which Hashem gave to Abraham. In other words, the Beracha Brit Ben Abitarim. The Beracha Brit Ben Abitarim. Bring some water. The Beracha Brit Ben Abitarim that was promised to Abraham, Ki Yitzchak Yikacher Chazara, is being passed on to the next generation, to who? Yaakov. Why would he do that? Why, when he gave the blessing, even if he thought it was Esav, the blessing that Yaakov, you know, so to speak, stole, was only Gashmiut. So you have to say that his approach to Esav is an approach we should all keep in mind as we raise our families. When a person is totally bad, you can cross him off. But Baruch Hashem, I deal with a lot of kids in the community. I deal with a lot of family problems. And I see the kids are not all bad. There's some less good, some further from good, some a little bad, and some somewhat bad. But there's nobody that we have, Rashat Merusha, who has no feeling for the community, has no feeling for his mother, his family. We don't have those kind of people. Baruch Hashem. So we're not crossing anybody off. But when a boy or a girl shows a negative nature, what do you do with them? What did Yitzchak see in Esav that he liked him? He was very big in Kibbutz Avayim. Used to come up home every night, take a shower, get dressed, some say in a tuxedo, to serve his father. He came to serve his father. And all that he said, Yikirvu yime Ebel Avi, Vaharga, when he was going to kill Yaakov, when he was planning to kill Yaakov, he said, I'm never going to do it while my father's alive, because I don't want to upset my father. I'd rather wait and have this rotten brother of mine live. For how long is he going to live? As long as my father's alive, I don't want to upset my father. Yitzchak Avinu saw in this, there's some good here. So what am I going to do? I know he's bad, but I still have to try. If I work on him, maybe I'll be able to bring him back. In the Gemara Sanhedrin it says, Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Le'olam tehesemo docha v'mi mekarevet. You push away with the left, the weak hand, and bring close with the right hand. Even if you're punishing a child, even if you're making him feel you're an outsider, you're not the type of person I accept, you have to bring him close with the right. And this is what he was doing. He was saying, I know you have problems. I know you're not so great. But the fact of the matter is, I want to bring you close to me. I want you to be somebody that is part of our family, and you'll fill your tafkid. And you'll fulfill what you have to fulfill in Am Yisrael. And now I get to what really is tonight's class. I want you to understand what's going on here. Those of you in tape land, do not answer Amen to this Biracha. If you hear it live over the telephone, if you're listening live to somebody speaking, you can answer Amen even though they're not in your presence. But when you hear a tape is not live, therefore when you hear this Biracha, do not answer Amen in tape land. Those of you in the room can answer. ברוך אתה אדוני, אלוהינו מלך העולם, שהכל נהיה דברו. Let's look at some questions. We get to the ברכות. It's a famous scene. Yitzchak Avinu was older. He feels like it's time to pass the rod to the next generation. And he calls in Esav and he tells him, I want to give you ברכה. Let's look at some questions. What did Rivka have in mind that she tells Yaakov, I promise you, you'll get the blessings. Don't worry, you won't get cursed. Bigger question. You could steal a watch. You could steal a car. Can you steal a beracha? Either the beracha is for this person or it's not for this person. Somebody goes, he goes to Rabbi Kaduri, he passes, he pays, he gives donation, everything to get a blessing from Rabbi Kaduri. He comes home and says, I'm going to steal it from you. How can I steal his beracha? And even if you get the beracha, he says, Yivarecha Hashem, and he means somebody else, and the beracha is not destined for you, it's not going to work. That's why Esav says, HaBaracha Achat, there's only one? Give me a different, give me one for me. The truth of the matter is, Hashem ha'aretz u'mlova tevel v'yoshveba. So you gave him, yitel l'chalokim yitel shmayim shnei ha'aretz, give him another one. Feed plenty. Rav Mila Alav HaShalom used to say, Zeche Zadik Livracha, if you ask Hashem for something and he gives it to you, and once you have it, you feel you want more, ask him again, he's got plenty. Borei Olam has enough for everything you could think of. So, there's not enough for two brothers to be blessed? Why is this whole issue one beracha? They're fighting over the one. Let Yaakov walk in like a man and say, Yitzchak Abi. Well, he wouldn't say his father's name. Abi, Abi. My father, my father. I hear you intend to give a beracha to Esav. Give me one too. And when he comes back, Esav, and he finds out the beracha is gone, let him say, okay, Abba. He took the first one, bless me too, and he tells him, no, I don't have another beracha. What do you mean you don't have another beracha? Friday night, don't your kids line up? You give them all a beracha. What's going on here? These are simple questions. You read the parashami, you don't think of this. What are they fighting? One beracha is plenty of berachot. Let's see what's going on. I love this parashah. Yitzhak, the given we're going to use in this perush, is a person whose eyes don't work properly. He's blind. And he really doesn't know clearly the wickedness of Esav. Not like I told you a few minutes ago. Just like today, and I could tell you, there's people with eyes, with 20/20 vision, also blind to the behavior of their children. Today there are people, they love their son. I remember when I was younger, I used to stay up late and watch the old black and white movies, and all the prison movies, when they catch the guy, they're taking him to the electric chair or the gas chamber to execute him, and they have, you know, Pat O'Brien, the priest, he's reading the confession to the guy, and Jimmy Cagney's there, he's walking with his head down, and he's the criminal. Yeah, I see, you saw them. Huh? He's laughing in the back there. And who's outside his mother? He's such a good boy, I don't know why they're killing him. He's a murderer, a thief. They're killing him. He got convicted. He's a gangster. No, he's a good boy. The mother, he's always a good boy. The principal calls up, your boy did this in school, your girl did, nah, my kid, impossible, the school's crazy, the principal's crazy, the teacher's crazy. So there are people blind. So whether we say physically blind or blind to behavior, he didn't know. He didn't know. But how could he not know how great Yaakov was? He got a son, he's Gadol Ador. He's an Elui. He's a Matmid, he's Yosheb O'Alim. He didn't know. You ever ask yourself that? Okay, he was fooled by Esav's questions. He didn't know Yaakov was great. He's coming home with report cards, A in Gemara, A in Chumash, A. Every time you go to open school night, your son, what are you doing here? He's the greatest. You don't even have to come. I guess you just came to hear the beautiful words I have to say about him. He didn't know Yaakov was great. You ever ask yourself that? Okay, he thought he was fooled by his Esav. He thought, what is he thinking about Yaakov? And even if he didn't know, what happened with Abraham when he knew Yitzchak is going to be the one and Hashem tells him, throw out Yishmael. He tells him, what about my son Yishmael? Lu Yishmael yehyeh lefanecha. I hope my other son also has a place. Here Yitzchak is, it's all or nothing. And I'm leaving out Yaakov because I have Esav. It's not making sense. Too many questions. And if this beracha is for the person who's going to be the one who's going to carry on the tradition of the Jewish people, how come the beracha is like I just read you? Only Gashmiut? No Eretz Yisrael, no Torah, no Mitzvot, no Olam Abba, just Mishmanei Haaretz. I give you Arabia and the oil. You getting all these questions, guy? You keeping track? Very strange what's going on here. And we're adults and we laugh when the kids go, I know the story. Yeah, he came in, he fooled them. The children come home Friday night, we listen to their question, we answer the question, we're not thinking. In fact, the essential part of the beracha was Eretz Yisrael in the Torah. Because that's what Hashem promised Abraham Avinu in Brit Ben Abitarim. And when he told Yitzchak, Yikarecha Zara, I'm going to give it to Yitzchak, Yitzchak's going to give it to this child. It's not here. So there's a sefer called Kometz Mincha, and I only identify because when you go to this parasha, if you read all the perushim, you end up empty. Better to read one, follow it through, and next year you do another, and after 70 years, you go to 70 perushim. Because there's always another version. But he asked these questions that I just asked you. And he makes a conclusion. The conclusion is that Yitzchak Avinu Alav HaShalom did not see in Esav a person to be the Yoresh of all the Berachot. No way. He didn't see him as the true heritage of the Jews. But he did want to give Esav a portion of the spiritual and physical wealth that he had. You see, when you look at the berachot of Abraham, You see two levels. Hashem tells him, V'yirash saracha et shar oyebav. Your children, the Jewish people, will rule the world. And then he tells them, Ki yedativ leman yitzaved bana betorav shamru derech Hashem. He gives them ruchaniyut too. He gives them Eretz Yisrael, he gives them a Beit HaMikdash, he gives them the Kehuna, and he gives them power, and he gives them armies, and he gives them money. So there's two halves. Avraham, as a person, can incorporate both of these things. How do we see? Lot is kidnapped. What happens? Avraham thinks, Hevei Gevir, you're going to be the one. Yirash Zaracha, Shara Yabav. I am the most powerful army on earth, me myself. And he goes out, and he throws dirt, and it becomes arrows, and it becomes spears. And he wins. The most powerful armies on earth, he wins. He's able to be a warrior. He's able to be out there, he's able to be the Ish Sadeh, Ish Sadeh. Avraham Avinu has that in him. And when it comes to Ruhaniyut, of course we know that Avraham Avinu, Isha Chesed, he was good in Tefillah, he was good in Tahanunim, he was good in Chesed, the Shekhinah came to visit him. So he had both aspects. But when we look at the parasha this week, which reveals to us a lot about Yitzhak Avinu, we see something a little different. Yitzhak Avinu is an inside person. And if there's negotiating and problems and troubles, you keep it, I'm leaving. He digs a well, they come, they say, that well belongs to us. He just dug it. A tough guy's going to say, what do you mean? I bought the rights, my father, but that, but that. Right? Yitzhak, I'll go somewhere else. He goes somewhere else, he digs, he strikes water, that's our well. See you in the morning. Bye. He leaves. Till he gets to a place, he digs a well, they don't bother him. He names it Rehovot. He gave me some space. Rahav, it's wide. Thank you very much. Peace and quiet. Now, of course, in the Mefarshim, they bring that's the first Beit HaMikdash, second Beit HaMikdash. A lot of symbolism in the wells. Read up on the wells. That's your homework for tonight. But why am I bringing it up? The personality of Yitzhak Avinu is very different than Avraham Avinu. He only has one half. The Ruchaniyut aspect, I have. The fighting and the Gibor aspect, I don't have. But he has two children. One is Esav, and one is Yaakov. One has the aspect of Gibor, as we explained earlier, and one has the aspect of Ruchaniyut, Yoshev Ohalim. Each one has his place in the heritage of the Jewish people. Each one has a makom to continue the tradition. Each one separately. Yaakov Ishtam, he has the midot to be a Kohen, to build a Beit HaMikdash, to bring Korbanot, to do mitzvot. Esav, if there's trouble, dial 911, you're saved. Dial 911, Esav shows up. Why? He's strong, he's powerful. So what does Yitzhak Avinu plan to do? I'm going to bless Esav with all it takes to be the guardian of Yaakov. Mishmenei Haaretz. Rov Dagan Mitirosh. Money, power. Yavducha Amim. Ishtahavu Lecha. I'm going to give you all this power and control so you can help Yaakov. Rivka sees more clearly. She sees that the Ish'ut of Esav will not allow him to be the partner of Yaakov, but the subjugator and the murderer of Yaakov. So she plans to steal the blessing. When Esav comes back after Yaakov got his blessing, he tells his father, HaBeracha Hat, there's only one Beracha. What does his father answer him? Yeah. There's really two, but the one suited for you, va'achicha be'orma be'chokhma, and he took it. So the one that was suitable for you is gone. So what about the one for him? Oh, the one for him, I'm still going to give him. But you're not suited for it. You can't be Kohen, and you can't be Rabbi, and you can't be Torah, and you can't be Mitzvot. You don't have it. So now it's not that there's one Beracha, but there's only one Beracha suitable for Esav. That's what Yitzhak thought. But Min HaShamayim they came, and they showed him the two aspects of Abraham. Both have to end up in Yaakov. It's not split. It's not two. One is Pesolet, and one is the Goren. One is the wheat, and one is the chaff. The same way there was a Yitzhak, who was accepted, and a Yishmael that's rejected, there's a Yaakov that's accepted, and an Esav that's rejected. Yitzhak's thought that it's two that can live together is proven to be wrong from Shamayim. And that's why it says, Vayehara Yitzhak harada gedola ad me'od. When he realized that Yaakov got the blessing, he trembled, a trembling that could kill a person. Why? He realized his whole life he was operating under the wrong assumption. He was trying to keep Esav in default, thinking he could partners with Yaakov. But he found out in the end, through the workings of Shamayim, from the workings of heaven, that the Beracha ended up, not one, but both, in the hands of Yaakov. If that's what Shamayim intended, that's what's correct. Vayeherad harada gedola ad me'od. Very, very big trembling. So we see from here a lot of lessons. We see from here that we as Yehudim have a right to a lot of the Gashmiut that we have. It was a blessing from our patriarch. Yes, in the womb they split up. They split up the Gashmiut and they split up the Ruchaniut. The Midrash tells us, Vayitrotzesu abanim bekirbah, they were fighting inside. Mechra kayom et bechorat echa li, the Midrash tells us, what was he telling him? Mechra kayom. Clear like the day. Which day? The day we were in the womb, inside our mother. And I came to you, says Yaakov to Esav, and I told you, shnei olamot yesh. There's two worlds. Olam hazeh and olam haba. The world of vacations, restaurants, sports, entertainment, music, leather couches, ducks' beds, everything fancy. And there's a world of Olam Abba, no comfort, but a different kind of simcha, simchat mitzvah, neheni mitzvah shechina. Which one do you want? Esav says, eat, drink, and be merry. Lama zeli bechora, hine anochi olech lamut. Let din, let din. There's no justice in the world. There's no, I don't believe it. And he takes Olam Hazeh. Yaakov Avinu says, I'll take Olam Abba. What happens when they meet? Which I might discuss next week in a little more detail. We get to Vayishlach, Vayetzeh Vayishlach. What happens when they meet after Yaakov Avinu becomes a multimillionaire in the house of Laban? And he's coming back home with his family and children. And in order to bribe Esav, he tells him, he prays to God, he splits up the camps, and he sends presents. And Esav tells him, Mama Haneh, what is this camps that you sent in front of you full of gifts? You know what he's telling him? I thought you said Olam Hazeh is for me. Where are you getting all this money? Are you stealing from me? He tells him, these are the children Asher Hanan Elokim. God gave me free gift. Why? He wanted me to use it in His service. When you take from Olam Hazeh, when you take from Olam Hazeh for your own benefit, for your own pleasure, to satisfy your ta'ava, that's Esav's property you're stealing. But when you take what Hashem gives you as a perk, you know what a perk is? A perk is a bonus. You fly, you pay for a ticket, they give you mileage. If you fly enough, you get a present. It's a perk. A man works for you. You have a small office. He works in a little department with five people and no space. You expand your offices. You're saying, this guy is better than the other people in his department. I'm going to give him a little office with a window. Instead of standing online by the copy machine, I'll give him a little printer by his desk. Perk. Why? He's a good worker. I want him to do his job better. So I give him encouragement by giving him fringe benefits. We do mitzvot. Hashem says, if im shamah tishmeo, you're going to have a lot of money, you're going to be blessed. Wait a minute. Schar mitzvot by Amaleka. Rewards for mitzvot in this world, they aren't. So what is he giving us? It's not a reward, it's a perk. Rambam tells us, it's encouragement to do more mitzvot. Really, what does that mean in a deep philosophical sense? You're not using any of the capital, Rochi. The capital's in the bank. It's the CD. It's the 5%. It's nothing. The CD's still there. You're collecting the interest. You go on the first, you clip the coupon. The coupon's still there. The bond's still there. Unbelievable. Is that great? That's true only if you're using that for mitzvot. When you're using it for mitzvot, when you're mitkadesh shem shamayim with what Hashem gives you, then you're the good employee who deserves perks. But if you're using it for your own comfort and your own benefit and your own satisfaction, that's a midah v'esan. So we have both blessings, Rabotai. But we have to understand the blessing we have from Hashem regarding Gashmiyut, the physical, is in order to do our job better. It's not in order to satisfy every whim, every fancy, every fad that we have. It's to do our job better. Our job is to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim Baradim, to sanctify the name of God in the way we live, in the way we talk, in the way we treat people, in what we buy, in what we wear, how we dress. Do we dress like a Yehudi and a Yehudiya, or like a Goy and a Goya? Do we dress like a movie star dresses, or like a Tamid Chacham dresses? Which is the right way? Do we buy things because they're going to add Kiddushah to our home? Or we're going to be more like Esav because it's plasma and it's in and it's $10,000 and I get the programming and it's clear and it's flat and it's beautiful. And that way I can sit back and have Bitul Torah better. What are we doing with our wealth and our blessing? Are we the people of Yaakov or the people of Esav? That's the question. Are we the people of Yaakov or the people of Esav? We ended up with both Berachot to help us do better in our job. Yehi Ratzon, Hashem gives us the strength to come up against the Yetzirah, yeah, to know that there's temptation out there, and to beat it head on like a gibor. But if we have to, we'll avoid every test. Avoid every test and try and live a life in the Beit HaMidrash, Yoshev Ohalim, away from the gaz and the confusion and the trends and the shtuyot and the hevel of this world. And in Yiratzon Hashem will give us the strength to win this battle, so that when he looks down and sees his children behaving the way he would like, bring my shafts to Canada and Miami, Amen.